I hope you guys are all safe and healthy.
People are going crazy out there.
We're going to talk about that a little today. Yeah. And it's amazing when you go into a grocery store and you see nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shelves are empty.
Yeah.
They can't keep enough stuff on there. I know they have stuff in the warehouse and everything. Mm-hmm. They're not reloading everything, restocking everything as fast as it's going away.
Right. And I think that's why these places are closing at 8 p.m. at night.
Yeah, now they're closing early.
So that they have time to restock. Are you guys taking any precautions?
Yeah,
what are you doing differently?
That's the thing. When I had told my boss about it, like at first when it was first coming out, we didn't really have a stand-up about it, which is like a little meeting before we go to work. Mm-hmm. But I had said, hey, you know, guys, this coronavirus is out, you know, this and that. And my boss almost kind of looked at me like, oh, okay, here we go. But then, of course,
like you're a couple... crazy.
Yeah, just kind of like, oh, okay. And then a couple days later, there's a mandatory stand-up about it. And I was like, see, I think I told you this last week.
Right.
And then we elaborated on it, you know, and they were just been telling us, you know, we're like, okay, a guy got sent home the other day.
Oh.
And then another person got sent home. So we're like, so what if? And everyone's like, oh, well, we have to wait first. Okay, but by the time we wait 14 to 30-something days now, it could be too late and everybody might have, you know, some sort of case.
Right.
So they still haven't told us what if, like we've been asking. That basically there's going to quarantine that person. So I don't know if they're going to take us all out of there, spray everything down, let us come back in.
So you guys haven't changed what you're doing yet?
Not really. The only thing, they just make sure we, you know, they tell us all wash your hands, sanitize. You know, we have our gloves on all the time. Even take your gloves off, wash your hands.
Yeah.
You know, and they have sanitizer and they have masks if we need them. But I don't know if masks, they were saying, are not really helping too much.
Unless you're sick.
So if you do are kind of sick, they, you know, they tell us to get a mask. And then I also brought up, which I think they should put in our stand-up, and they haven't yet, but I'm sure they will. I told everyone to wash their phones off, too. Because a lot of people don't think, like, oh, well, my hands were, I just clean my hands, it's on my phone. But you put your phone everywhere.
Exactly.
So and then that was on, I think, CNN News, too, saying, hey, and remember, guys, sanitize your phones.
Right.
So it's a big building. There's tons of people that work there.
And how many people are working the same time you're working?
Oh, a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Like, not just in our area, there's at least 20.
Okay.
Just a little bit. But the whole building at that time, 50 plus.
Oh.
So, I mean, and then when people come in, because the tours overlap, so they come in at 2 or 3, we're still there until 3:30 unless we have overtime, and then that's even more people.
Right.
So there is probably 400 or more plus people that work there.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. And you were saying that you're running out of toilet paper, your mom is running out of toilet paper, you went to the store, you can't find any.
Nope.
So you bought some on Amazon, but spent like
$70? Yes, and that was just on Kleenex and six rolls of big 600 things of 600 sheets of toilet paper.
Wow.
Because they're hiking up all the prices because everything is unavailable. And they're like, oh, we'll email you when they come available, but we need it now. And everybody, that's what I've been saying, that I understand this, people being scared. I understand.
But why are you hoarding things? There's
no need to hoard. Yeah, that's what... It's like even me and my boyfriend were saying, the panic of people is more scary than the damn virus.
Yeah, exactly.
Because these people are out of fucking control.
It's like I was talking with my husband, and this is why the government doesn't tell us if we've been visited by aliens or whatever, because look at how people react.
Exactly.
They're
this
effing
is a virus.
Nuts.
Mm-hmm. They even got into fist fights at stores for toilet paper.
Wow. I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. It's everywhere. People were fighting. Like, there was these three women fighting over packs of toilet paper, and I think it's because one woman had two or three big packs, and another lady, it was gone and she needed some.
Right.
It's like dog eat dog out there now, instead of being
friendly
and being a human.
In my community, there is a woman who bought a bunch of toilet paper, but the reason she did is because she knows all these other people are going out and hoarding it, and she said, look, if you have elderly parents who need toilet paper, come to me and I will give you some because I bought a whole bunch for the elderly.
Yeah, there's so this one. That's the people that are hurting. There's even pictures out there of this older lady that went to the store and everything's gone and she had nothing.
Right.
But there is this one, I don't know where they are. I saw it on Instagram and it's real. It's about this couple. They actually own a business or something. They went and bought $2,500 worth of sanitizer and toilet paper, but it's a good thing.
Okay.
They bought it so they could give it to the elderly people in their community. Good. Because they knew people were going to just take everything.
Right, yeah.
So they're giving it to the people.
Okay, that's our little rant on the coronavirus. It's crazy right now.
I was just talking to my dentist about this today. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's not serious. And I'm not trying to make it seem like it's not scary. I'm not trying to take that away from people. It is a virus, and they're not focusing on the people that have had it and are fine. Maybe if they showed more of that, people won't be as panicked.
Yes.
But I mean, I understand the panicking, but now there's also pasta, eggs, other parts of food that are sold out too. And people are hoarding it in their house. And and I understand, because you feel like you got to be quarantined, this, that, and this, that.
And we do feel empathy for the people who have lost loved ones because of this virus.
This isn't cabin fever, and it's not the apocalypse, and it's not like if you get spit on, you're going to turn into a zombie. With my mom, they live in a senior place, and they're basically quarantined unless they have to go somewhere. So I got to pick her up some stuff too. So, because my daughter's going to have to go over there since they closed all the schools.
Right.
Think about others as well.
Yes.
Especially if you have enough stuff. Like, to me, bottled water is not necessary to me, because even though I bought some, but I got bottles also for my tap water. I mean,
yeah,
it's water.
You could drink tap water.
And then if worse comes to worse, if I don't have any toilet paper, if I have to go to the bathroom, then I will just go in the shower and rinse my ass off.
Or like, use a washcloth.
Or washcloth and wash it, because this is crazy out
here. That's exactly what my mom said. Yeah. She said, why are you hoarding toilet paper? Mm-hmm. You could always use a washcloth. Yep. You have running water.
Yeah, rinse your booty off. Like,
exactly.
I'll do that if I have to. Shit, even baby wipes. Everything are out. Like, everything is gone.
I know.
Everything is so expensive now. Like I said, I paid probably $60 to $80 today on Kleenex and standard toilet paper that comes in big rolls that are made for companies, because that's all they have.
Ridiculous. So, okay, we are talking paranormal today.
Yes, yes.
We're big fans of Ed and Lorraine Warren, and I'm sure we will have multiple episodes where we talk about some of their cases and what they've done. And one of the cases we're going to talk about today is one that they did, and they actually made a movie about it. It was The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, it
was
Conjuring
based 2. On their investigation.
Right.
Enfield Poltergeist investigation. And numerous people have gone to this house and investigated.
Right.
You want to tell people a little bit about it?
Yeah, when I was reading on this, because I was looking up poltergeists and real poltergeists and everything like that, you know, coming from watching, you know, Exorcist and all these movies, I'm like, well, let me look up some real, real stories that supposedly happened, because also The Exorcist supposedly happened too, but it was to a boy, not a girl.
Yeah.
And the Enfield, when I started reading this, I was like, wait, this sounds familiar. I'm like, oh, wait, this is based off The Conjuring, duh. And so it was basically the Enfield Poltergeist was a claim of supernatural activity. Now, they say a claim because they think the kid was making it up.
Right.
But it was at 284 Green Street, a council house in Brimstown, Enfield, London, England, between 1977 and 1979. And it did include the two sisters, who were 11 and 13 at that time. But what I'm reading here is that some of the members of the Society for Society of Psychical Research, such as inventor, there was a guy named Maurice Gross, and writer Guy Lyon Playfair, believed the haunting to be actually genuine, while others also thought it was not. They were unconvinced, Anita Gregory and John Beloff. They found evidence that the girls had faked incidents for the benefits of journalists. So half people are thinking it's real, half is saying it's fake. But I don't know if they were doing that because they wanted the attention to be like, hey, this is real, you're not listening, so maybe if I did these other things.
So what actually happened?
They were saying the claims were that Margaret, who was 13, and Janet, who were 11, they said they would see the chairs wobble and slide across the floor. Loud noises, voices, toys were being thrown, overturned chairs when they'd wake up. The children even claimed that they were levitating.
And there is a photo of that.
Yeah, there's some photos here of the levitating like in the air. And it said over like an 18-month period, more than 30 people, including neighbors and psychics and journalists, saw heavy furniture moving on its own. objects being thrown across the room. Like I was saying, the daughters were seeming to levitate several feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. And then they also would hear knocking and gruff voices. Mm. Mm, and that was reported. The story was uncovered by the Daily Mail and Daily Mirror. And the reports came to an end in 1979. So they did have, you know, investigations. There was a book called The House is Haunted, The True Story of a Poltergeist. It was just saying that all this stuff was happening. And some people said it was real. Some people said it was fake. But they did say Janet, the youngest one, was detected in trickery. A video camera in the room next door caught her bending spoons and attempting to bend an iron bar.
Wow. Ooh.
Gross had observed Janet banging a broom handle on the ceiling and hiding his tape recorder. So maybe they were thinking that, you know, she was being influenced or maybe taken over by this poltergeist.
Like a possession or something.
And it said that Janet's voices, she called Bill, was the voices that would come out of her because her voice would change into like a man's voice. And she had a habit of suddenly changing the topic. And Janet did it as well. So Janet would change the topic, and then Bill would pop in.
Oh.
It seems like. And they were just trying to see that what was going on, but it looks like they thought they were getting mocked and duped because of all the stuff that was going on. Because she would just change her voice, but they thought she was doing that herself.
Right.
So they investigated. They said also that the little girl at 11 was practicing ventriloquism and throwing her voice. So she must have been really good at it.
But right.
That's what they were trying to say. And there was also a ventriloquist that they made come over there named Ray Allen. He visited the house and concluded that Janet's male voices were just vocal tricks. That's what he was saying. So they were saying the poltergeist was nothing more than antics of a little girl who wanted to cause trouble and who was clever. But that's a lot of people saying, like, what's the word for it? Skeptic. There were a lot of skeptics going around saying that. But then they also said Janet's lips hardly seemed to be moving. So they thought she was just really good at controlling a voice without her mouth moving.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why they thought she was pranking them with a ventriloquist and that she was good at gymnastics. That's why all this other stuff was happening to her.
Yeah, and I found an article, the five reasons why it was a hoax. And one of them is because the girls admitted to faking stuff. I don't know, some of the stuff that happened, it was kind of not believable. Another one is the classic photo of 11-year-old Janet levitating above her bed. It says there's a lot of evidence to suggest she's not hovering in midair. People have reproduced the image at home, jumping up and down on a bed. Number three is the spirit of an old man, Bill, who possessed Janet, was obsessed with periods. Oh. So apparently when Janet would morph into Bill, he would always talk about menstruation. But why would a man be interested in menstruation? But a young girl would be.
Right.
So there's a lot of questions regarding that. And then another one is the eyewitnesses are unreliable. The witnesses in the Enfield poltergeist case included a policewoman who swore she saw a chair move across the room. It says, we've researched the unreliability of eyewitnesses. We've been able to show the power of suggestion in experiments in controlled conditions.
Yeah, because also in this, because it was based on, The Conjuring 2 was based on this.
Yeah.
And they were saying that, you know, they got the help of Ed Warren as well and his wife.
Yeah.
But it did say, someone was saying that Ed Warren was notorious for exaggerating and even making up incidents in such cases, often transforming a haunting case into one of demonic possession. So that's what this person was saying. Like, he was basically there and was hyping up what the girls thought.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people say about Ed and Lorraine Warren, is that a lot of people don't believe the stuff that they did. Much respect to them because they basically started the field that we're in now. I mean, they made it famous pretty much, being a paranormal investigator and demonologist, mm-hmm. and she was a psychic medium
as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of people that do believe that something happened in that house, mm-hmm. and then there's a lot of people that think it was fake.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know, because this Ed and Lorraine Warren that I've always seen and they did base the movies off of, I don't know. Like, if I'm basing it off of me watching The Conjuring, mm-hmm. and that's what they kind of did in the movie The Conjuring Part 2 that was based on it, was basically, oh yeah, the girls were faking some of it, but then Lorraine would also see, no, there's some shit going on here as well. Yeah. I think that maybe if it did happen, they were maybe, because it was the late 70s, you know? Even to this day, people think people are crazy most of the time if they see ghosts and shit. Mm-hmm. But I think back then, maybe if something was going on, maybe if the girls did lie a little bit, it was to get more attention to where they would believe them.
Right.
Like, maybe if I did this more, like I was saying, maybe if I did this more or that more, they would believe me more.
Yeah.
If I say something else happened, because this doesn't seem as believable.
Right.
So I think maybe it's possible that it did happen. I'd have to look at some more of those pictures. But yeah, I saw that picture and it did look like maybe she could have been jumping off her bed.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Yeah. The skeptic in me doesn't believe anything that happened there.
Yeah.
It's just, again, I have to be
able to see it.
I have to see it for myself to believe it.
Yeah, because I'm both. I mean, I've seen ghosts. I've talked to ghosts. I've smelled ghosts. Yeah. I've had them around and everything. But some things, I mean, I can still be a skeptic even though I've seen shit myself.
Yeah.
I'm still skeptic of other people.
Right.
Because you never know. But I'm sure they're skeptic of stuff that I've said too.
Oh, I'm sure people
don't
believe.
So I don't ever want to be too skeptical of anyone because I've seen it, so why not these people? But sometimes stuff can be a little too extra.
I don't know. When you read more about what actually happened there, it seems really fishy and weird. Have the movie Poltergeist, was that based off
that's
of
so funny. I was just gonna mention Poltergeist. Well, they were saying that the movie The Poltergeist, which scared the shit out of me when I was little,
it's still freaky as hell when you watch it to this day.
Especially the second one still freaks me the fuck out, because I don't know if they said it was based off of anything, but I know people were saying that on set a lot of paranormal stuff was happening.
Yeah.
Like some weird, crazy stuff was happening.
And they had, like, bad luck, didn't they?
And a lot of people died after the movies.
Right.
There was a lot of deaths. It was the little girl, but she had something. I'll have to look it up. But it turned into worse when she was younger, and she passed away. And then the Native American guy from the part two passed away. And then the little lady that was in all of them, she passed away. But they kept saying, especially I think they said on number two, where they were doing stuff, I don't know if they were doing the movie around Native American burial grounds or something, but they all said there was a lot.
Yeah, they call it the Poltergeist Curse.
Yes, Poltergeist Curse. But I think a lot of it also said in part two is where when they were doing that, they were having a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it says they call it the Poltergeist Curse because of the deaths of two young cast members in the 6 years between the releases of the first and third films. Mm-hmm. Dominique Dunn, who played the eldest daughter, died on November 4th, 1982 at the age of 22 after being strangled by her boyfriend.
Right.
And then Heather O'Rourke, who played Carol Ann, died at the age of 12 due to complications from an acute bowel obstruction.
Oh, okay, yeah. The guy, he was the Poltergeist too. He was the Native American. He passed away. His name was William Sampson Jr. And he had passed away a year after doing the movie.
Wow.
Like a year or so after doing the movie. He suffered from scleroderma. It's a chronic degeneration condition that affects his heart and lungs and skin. So he had died, like, after that, complications related to malnutrition. And then the little lady that's in it died as well. Her name is Zelda. She played Tangina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was in a lot of movies, and she passed away too, but she had a mild heart attack. She had pre-existing conditions also for years and began to overtake her.
Okay. So I guess the moral of the story is do not do a movie based on poltergeist activity because you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty creepy. I mean, I think I would like to see poltergeist activity in person.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would like to.
It would be kind of creepy, but it did say that there is a
Should
reality.
Should we conjure one?
Yeah.
No, because I'm seeing a knife, and I don't want that knife to come flying
right.
out
well, it's
my
a
head.
Dull knife. I don't think it would do any damage. Doesn't matter. I couldn't even cut a pineapple with it. I'm like, oh, this sucks. Why is it so big? It's not even. I can't even do anything with that big thing. The little sharp knife is the one that cut the freaking pineapple with. Yeah, that big one, I'm like, hey, this is kind of like bending.
What's but the one I'm looking at?
Where?
That one right there, sticking up.
Oh, that's just a regular knife.
But that could still hurt.
Yeah, it's a steak knife.
Okay, that could still hurt.
It'll do some damage. I thought you were talking about this other big knife over there.
No, I'm talking
about put it away, I guess. But this does say that the reality behind the fiction film is actually equally as frightening. It does say it is loosely based on events at a house in Long Island, New York, where a family called the Hermans were plagued by a so-called poltergeist. So it was based on that too. I thought it was, but yeah, it's pretty creepy. I might rewatch some of them because they scared the shit out of me.
If you've had any poltergeist activity, mm-hmm. we want to come investigate.
Yeah, we want to see because I mean, we were supposed to go to a couple of them, but you know, things fell through and stuff. But
I think people get scared when you say, "Okay, let me go and investigate your house."
Yeah.
They're like, what if you conjure up more? I don't think they realize that we're actually there to help them mm-hmm. and make sure that what is going on is paranormal. And because a lot of times you'll go into a house, just like the one that we did in Seal Beach, mm-hmm. we went into his bathroom mm-hmm. and both you and I started to freak out because the EMF detector shot all the way up mm-hmm. to like 72.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the hell? Yeah. But it's because there was something in the walls that mm-hmm. was giving off.
Like the electric energy or something that was messing with it.
And when you have something that high, that can mess with you. Mm-hmm. Where you think there's something there, but there's not.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, it can be lots of different things.
That's why we go in and investigate to make sure that it's not something like that. Mm-hmm. I think these people just got scared.
Yeah, and they might also think that, you know, oh, you come in here messing with stuff, it's going to piss them off even more. Or it could have been they were just wanting attention and didn't think we'd really come. And then they're like, oh, crap, they're coming.
It could have been a hoax, too. Yeah, we don't know.
So you never know because we weren't there.
What they told us was that they hear voices. Mm-hmm. They have also seen shadows of a man wearing a tall hat. Mm-hmm. They heard music coming through their speakers when it wasn't on. Mm. They were in their kitchen and they saw a glass slide across the counter.
Oh, and I want to see that.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer that they said no, but
That's crazy.
I don't know. Maybe one of these days we can talk them into it.
Yeah,
because
I would like to see.
I would
what the hell
too.
Is going on.
It might be scary in the moment, but it would also be
fascinating.
Yeah, to get that on camera and to mm-hmm. actually physically see something happen.
Yeah.
I know you get touched a lot. I've mm-hmm. never experienced anything like that except that first investigation we were on, and I had that cold spot on me that was mm-hmm. really creepy.
Yeah.
But now that I think about it, that was kind of awesome.
Yeah. You're like, oh, shit.
And I'm like, oh, can I move? But now that I think about it, I'm like, wow, that's mm-hmm. what was scary to me is not knowing what was there. Mm-hmm. What was that?
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are. They're just nervous and scared of what is it?
Yeah.
And why? Mm-hmm. You know, but if they come to find out, oh, well, it's not going to hurt you or this and that, then they're fine.
Well,
you know?
Now that we're talking about poltergeist, mm-hmm. and you've had a lot of things happen to you, have you had poltergeist activity?
As in things being moved and
yes,
stuff? Yes. I mean, I've had things where I know I put something down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know it was right here. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go somewhere and look for it and come back and there it is again. And to me, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe I just didn't see it or maybe, you know, whatever. But there would be stuff like apartments that I lived in before, stuff would be moved.
Yeah.
One time there was an apartment that I lived in and there was a paper bag like just sitting right there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we would hear the noise, and we'd look, and it's moving. We're like, oh, fuck, it's a mouse or something. Yeah. Nothing there.
Oh.
And then we've heard doors slide. We had a sliding door and we would hear it slide back and forth. And like the one time, I think I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. One time I was looking, you know, if your TV is off and it's black.
Yeah.
And you're standing in front of it, you see your shadow. Mm-hmm. Well, one time I saw a shadow behind me coming up in the TV and I turned around and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But I clearly saw the shadow.
But you've never had something like be thrown across the room?
Not that I can remember.
Okay.
Maybe when I was younger in our haunted house, but I can't remember. I believe my sister did.
Really?
I believe she did have stuff thrown across.
Oh.
Like things opening and shutting.
Yeah.
And dishes or something thrown somewhere or a phone or something thrown.
Wow.
I told her to be on the podcast when they come out here. They're coming out here in September.
Yes. Can
yeah. I told her. I said, no. I said it's paranormal. She said, well, I wouldn't know what to say in front of a microphone. Just sit there. I'm like, no, we're talking paranormal stuff. Tell your stories.
Yeah.
And my niece said she wants to, too, because she was in one of the houses where she was terrified of the attic that I was talking about that time. Because we're from the Midwest. There's a lot of scary shit back there that happens.
Right.
A lot of scary, you know.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love to hear their stories.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they have tons.
Where she's living, does she have anything?
I don't believe so. She just moved in, so I haven't really asked her. She hasn't told me
I wonder
yet,
if
I doubt it.
If they, because it seems like every house she's lived in, there's been activity. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if something follows her.
It might follow both of us,
because
everywhere
I've
gone.
Because you both have the gift of talking and sensing.
Yeah,
and
so it might. It might just follow us because we know.
Right.
Or it might be...
Does her daughter?
I don't think so. She's never said that she has. Just like with my daughter, she says sometimes, but I think she's too scared to say. When she was little, she would say little things.
Would she?
Yeah, but besides that, 7 days! That scared the shit out of me. Oh,
that.
My
Sorry.
God, that was terrifying.
That was
fine when she did that to me
one day.
That
was hilarious.
It was
funny. I still have those videos. But it was like four.
Yeah,
or
it was
three.
Even more scarier. One day I'm like, what are you doing, sweeping? She's scribbling and scribbling. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, 7 days, mommy. And I was like, and with a straight face, and went back to coloring. And I'm like, okay,
she's
Ashley.
Possessed.
Yeah, I was like, look what you did.
Cuss me out.
I mean, my niece might, and my nephew might too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if she's on the podcast, she'll tell us if there's something.
Good.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of scary places everywhere, but it just seems like the Midwest is like where the UFOs and the aliens want to be and the monsters and the scaries. And the
yeah, exactly.
Because I believe in them damn UFOs. Aliens are out there.
Government just won't tell us because look
sure
at
won't.
How we
yeah.
react.
I mean, they're reacting like this right now, but hey, I bet you that the aliens are out there.
Shit. Yeah.
They probably picked up the toilet paper and water, too.
So, for me, I think the Enfield case is bogus. You sort
I'm on
of
the fence.
Maybe,
yeah. I'm on the fence with it.
Again, if you've experienced any poltergeist activity or any paranormal activity, please give us a call at 213-293-7228. Mm-hmm. Or
you can hit us up on Instagram. It is instagram.com/timeoutwithalexashley.
Yes. Or
just DM us.
Yep. And we have a Twitter now.
Yes. You can tweet us.
I think it's timeoutalexash.
Oh yeah, I think so.
I believe so.
We had to shorten it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't fit.
And now that we've added paranormal to our name, that definitely won't fit anywhere.
Yeah, no. But yeah, hit us up and let us know. Or if you have a case that you want us to read about or, you know, hit us up and we'll be more than
or
happy
investigate.
To. Yes,
we
or
want
if you
come
have an investigate.
You.
Yeah, we want to see what's going on in your houses.
We will travel. Come on.
Yeah.
And thank you again to all of our new listeners from all around the world.
Oh,
we
yeah.
really appreciate you listening to our podcast and we'd love for you guys to interact more and be more involved, but we understand if you just like to listen. And we have experience with radio, and that's our background. And I remember growing up, I was terrified. Like, I wanted to be on the radio.
Yeah.
But then when I would call, I immediately would hang up. I'm like, oh,
I loved
okay,
hearing,
bye.
I loved hearing myself on the radio. I'd call up, oh, did I win? You know,
really?
Like,
but that's our personalities, where I'm the shy, introverted one, and you're the outgoing and funny
weird
one.
I'm like the weird one.
Well, I think we're both weird, but.
You gotta be.
You're the
no
outgoing
one likes normal.
No.
Normal is boring.
It's boring.
Yeah.
Very boring.
Normal is weird.
Yes, it is.
Crap.
So like we said earlier in the episode, we are, I don't know, did we say we're at your house recording?
At my creepy house.
And Alex's house is creepy because, like she said,
the previous owner died in this mm-hmm. house, and she has lots of things happen here. So we just decided to bust out the spirit box, and this is what happened.
Yeah, we basically, you know, we always ask a lot of questions, and, you know, you got to record it to kind of listen back. But we asked to name somebody in this house, and a male voice said my daughter's name.
Yeah, so take a listen to this, and let us know what you hear.
Hello.
Hi.
Listen. Oh, are you still in this house?
Do you follow Alex? Yes.
Oh.
Isn't that creepy? Yes. Out?
Are you here right now?
Did you move Alex the other night? That was like crying.
That's crazy. What do you mean? Is that what you mean?
Talk to whoever touched you.
Did you say, did you say hey to me the other day?
Yes.
Did you shake me so I'd wake up?
Yes.
Is there one spirit here?
It said many? Yeah.
How many?
10.
Are you male?
One.
Is there any females?
Give a name of anyone who lives in this house.
What is it?
I thought it said Lyric.
Did it?
I swear
That's
to God,
it sounded
it,
like
it
too.
It sounded like Lyric.
Say someone's name that lives here.
How many people live in this house?
Did I say 3?
Did that just say happy birthday?
Is that something? My great grandma's birthday is tomorrow.
I swear that said happy birthday.
When's your birthday?
September.
Oh,
this is creeping me out.
What day? September what? Do you need help?
Some weird voices coming through.
Just a lot. Are you watching us now?
Pressure.
Are you playing with us?
Pressure.
Hi.
Okay, we're leaving. Bye.
And just remember, pleasant nightmares.